Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're looking at what's next for Under Armour stock after its Q1 2019 earnings release came out last week. And then we're also going to take a look at Adidas' strong quarterly results as well, because they reported as well at the end of last week. But before we do that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. So, as I mentioned, Under Armour reported its quarterly results before the opening bell last Thursday, May 2nd. And so we're just going to start with a quick top and bottom line review. Under Armour reported adjusted earnings of 5 cents per share after reporting a loss in the same period a year earlier. So this also topped our Zacks consensus estimate that called for break-even earnings. And then on the top line, the sports apparel company posted revenue of $1.2 billion. Which also beat street forecasts in our estimates that called for $1.18 billion. So a top and bottom line beat, which is always a good sign for any company. And then shares of UAA, which is shares of Under Armour, climbed 3.6% to just over $20 per share during regular trading Thursday following that release in the morning. And then shares ended up dipping 1% on Friday. So that's some quick overview of how the quarter went for Under Armour. But now let's kind of dive into a little bit more and break everything down and then look a little bit towards the future. So as I mentioned, total revenue popped 2% to $1.2 billion. Despite the modest climb, sales in North America fell 3% on top of the year-ago period's 0.4% decline. So two periods in a row of quarterly declines in its most important market by far. And this is kind of a continuation of a somewhat alarming trend on the company's home turf that accounts for roughly 70% of sales. Last quarter, Under Armour's North American sales dropped 6%, and the company has now reported a year-over-year sales decline in North America in 6 out of the last 7 quarters. And overall, North American sales were down 2% in 2018. So it's getting off to then a bad start in 2019 as well in terms of North American growth. And this is also coming at a time when Nike is doing really well in North America. They returned to growth over the last couple periods after a little bit of a downturn. So last quarter, Nike saw its North American revenues jump 7%. So that's kind of the frame of reference. Under Armour slacking, falling 2%, while Nike's up big in North America. So that's some interesting trends to watch, and we'll kind of get into a little bit of the reasoning for that in a little bit. So on the good side, on the positive side for Under Armour, its international sales climbed 12% to account for roughly 20% of total revenue. And then more specifically, the firm's Asia Pacific business was the big good performer here for them in terms of international sales. That was up 25%. And then in terms of their categories, apparel revenue was up 1% to $775 million, and then footwear sales climbed 8%, driven by strength in its running category, which is a good sign. They need to grow their footwear fair business as much as they can, because that's where some of the higher margins and the overall high price points come in. But still, apparel is by far its biggest category, its core business. It makes up 65% of revenue. So to see that only up 1%, that kind of gives you a sense of where Under Armour is at the moment. And then meanwhile, its wholesale revenues increased 5%. And this is to places such as Dick's Sporting Goods. Meanwhile, its direct consumer revenue actually fell 6%, and it represents just around 27% of total sales. And this is coming at a time when most of the retail industry is trying to build up their direct consumer businesses more than ever, with a big focus on e-commerce and digital sales. So it's interesting to see Under Armour struggle in this direct consumer push, and seeing their wholesale business grow. So as I said, Under Armour is kind of an interesting company in that they're zigging while everyone else is zagging, and there's some definite reasons for that as well. And they've really started to, as I mentioned, focus on performance, because they're unable to do some of this go along with some of the larger trends, which is that athleisure market that Lululemon and Nike and even Adidas have all really been able to capture, where one of the better performing categories for Under Armour is, for instance, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's category, which is really they're going back to the roots of Under Armour, which is kind of a core performance workout gear thing. And this is something that Under Armour is really going to, they're probably going to continue to go in this direction. And they're trimming down their business. Inventory decreased 24% in the quarter. They're trying to lower the number of SKUs, which is basically just the number of actual products they sell. It seems like maybe they're trying not to even chase this cool factor anymore. It's been very hard to have Under Armour stand out in this sportswear world where so many people are now wearing tennis shoes to everything, to work or even dinner. It's become a cool thing, and Under Armour's kind of been unable to capture that market, especially compared to Nike, Adidas, Puma, and any other even smaller brands. But interestingly enough, Under Armour's debt also came down as well. So it's they're doing some big overall changes to the business that's going to set them up, hopefully, and this is what management expects, to run a more efficient business long term. So looking ahead, Under Armour executives expect full year 2019 revenue to grow by between 3-5%, which reflects relatively flat results in North America and then low double-digit growth in its international business. Then meanwhile, our Zacks consensus estimates call for adjusted full-year earnings to jump roughly 26% this year for the full year and then climb 52% above that current year estimate in the following year on the back of 6.7% revenue growth. So that's some strong positivity on the bottom line for our estimates right now. And then just to kind of give a bigger overarching picture of what Under Armour stock has done, Under Armour stock is now up roughly 31% over the last year to outpace the S&P 500's 9% growth and the apparel market's 22% average. But with that climb and some of its future earnings outlook, it's still trading at 58 times forward 12-month Zacks consensus earning per share estimates, which is a massive premium compared to its industry's roughly 21% or 21 times average and Nike's 28.5 times earnings. So it's certainly not a cheap stock at the moment, and its valuation picture kind of seems a little bloated at this moment. But overall, it was a solid quarter in terms of top and bottom line beats. The outlook was pretty good. We're seeing some long-term earnings growth. So Under Armour is definitely a stock to continue watching as it has really done well over the last year. But now, before we kind of wrap up the whole show at the end talking about an overarching picture of this all, I want to talk about Adidas because they also reported their quarterly earnings last week, and this was last Friday before the opening bell. So you had shares of ADDYY or ADS.DE. They both surged over 9% Friday to new record highs for Adidas. And this was on some overall strength on the top line. So overall sales growth slowed a little bit to 6% for the quarter and on 4% on a currency adjusted basis to roughly $6.75 billion. So this was ahead of analysts' expectations. So that's why there was some strong stock price movement most likely. And then there was a little bit of a subdued outlook in the sense that executives still expect some problems in North America to remain throughout the rest of the year. But they did warn that their March supply chain issues would hit their sales growth in the first half with some, as I mentioned, North America really being some demand issues for mid-market clothing. They're having a problem on their supply side, as they mentioned, but they're hoping that this will get worked out. They said they're working to mitigate the shortages, including using more air freight to ship goods, which could then imply some higher logistics costs in the second and third quarters. So they're still expecting some of these issues to continue, but overall people are happy with where the business is going because e-commerce sales were up 40% in the quarter. Adidas noted that its Adidas app has been downloaded 9 million times, and their chief executive, Casper Roystead, expects online growth to continue at around 30 to 40% for years. So that's really why a lot of the positivity was probably coming into Under Armour Adidas stock late last week with just this e-commerce growth, especially in the Amazon age. Everyone's looking to see that these retailers can just get their products directly to consumers when everyone else is shopping online as well. And then since just a little bit of a, more of an overarching picture, since Casper Roystead took over as CEO in 2016, he's boosted Adidas' market value by 20 billion euros. He's really kind of pointed to some of their sponsorships and their overall use of influencers as driving this huge demand. He talked about that specifically in China, that people like Lionel Messi, who's a world-renowned soccer player, plays for FC Barcelona in Argentina, and then celebrities on that the music side or just kind of celebrity side like Kanye West, he pointed directly to both of those people to really help sales in China. He said that on the influencer side, we'd probably have the best team in the industry. So continue to expect Adidas going forward to really try to pump out these partnerships with not only athletes, but musicians and other just influencers in the world of social media these days, because that's really where so many people are finding all of their products and kind of all of their news, which is both good or bad, you can say. And then also Adidas CEO mentioned Beyonce, which they have a new partnership with, and that's another person that's widely popular throughout the world. So like Nike has done and Puma has done, Adidas is really focusing on not just athletic partnerships, but partnerships with famous people that are, yeah, not famous for doing anything to do with sports, which is something that probably 20 years ago most people wouldn't really think of as a way to market sportswear companies, but that kind of seems like it's the future of this all. And so with the CEO talking so much about Kanye West, it's his specific shoes that the Yeezy line has continued to really draw a lot of buzz in the industry. And I kind of want to quickly show some stuff, if anyone's watching this on YouTube right now, is this overall industry, the secondary shoe market, is really grown very popular. Earlier this year, Foot Locker announced that it had a $100 million minority investment in the GOAT Group, which is, as I said, a secondary shoe market. This is kind of part of a larger trend. There's another company called Stadium Goods that I've talked about before on the podcast, and they were recently acquired by a publicly traded high-end fashion e-commerce company called Farfetch for $250 million in December. So that kind of shows where this industry is headed. So I'm going to pull up these websites here on Stadium Goods and the GOAT Group, and just kind of quickly for anyone listening as well. So the homepage just has all they do is sell shoes for very, very high prices. So on Stadium Goods homepage right now, they're advertising some Nikes. The top picks from the company right now are Air Jordan 4 Retros. Those are selling for $295. They have another Air Jordan up here for $2,200. They have a Kanye West Yeezy Boost 700 for $465. And this is kind of just to show the prices that people are willing to pay for these shoes that, as I've mentioned, have kind of crossed over into the world of high fashion. And then on the other website, I have this sorted by prices high to low. And these numbers, to me, were sound fake, but these are legitimate numbers that people, I guess, eventually are willing to pay. Their most expensive shoe, some of their most expensive shoes are going for $20,000 on Stadium Goods. $20,000. There's an Air Yeezy that's going for $20,000, an undefeated Air Jordan 4 Retro for $19,000. I mean, these prices are insane, and this is something that is part of the reason why companies like Adidas and Nike have performed so well in North America, because this shoe market is just such a hot thing and their prices are so crazy. And notably left off this list is Under Armour. You won't really find any Under Armour shoes on these big secondary websites. It's pretty much Adidas and Nike and that's it. So that's, I wanted to just quickly show those for anyone who was watching and then just get into the prices that people are willing to pay. And that's just kind of this whole underground sneakerhead industry that's quietly driving some of this, just in the sense of the demand for these shoes goes up and down so quickly. But Nike and Adidas, are, as I mentioned, are really the top performers there. So I want to close with taking a little bit of a look at where the stocks have performed overall in the industry over the last 5 years. So shares of Adidas are now up 34% this year. But if we look back over a whole the last 5 years, as I mentioned, Adidas stock is up 160%, and this outpaces Nike at 134%, which also outpaces the apparel market's 52% climb. So those, both those companies are way up above the industry average over the last 5 years. But then you have Under Armour, who's actually lagged this industry over the last 5 years and is still down 9% despite some recent positivity over the last year. But that's due to their quick drop off from 2015 to 2017. And actually the top performer, who we haven't really mentioned, but it's part of this larger athleisure trend, is a stock that we've talked a lot about on this show before. But Lululemon is up almost 300% over this five-year stretch to crush Adidas and Nike. And that's a stock that a lot of people on Wall Street still thinks has a long runway ahead as they continue to grow their e-commerce business and grow in Europe and China as well. And then I want to focus on something at the end that I've talked a lot about before, but it really is hugely important in this industry going forward, and that is these companies' presence across social media, because that is where a lot of business is going to be done, maybe more than ever. Nike CFO Andy Champion expects their digital business at Nike to make up 30% of total company revenues by 2023, up from just 15% last quarter. Facebook is now testing out a new checkout on Instagram feature that lets people directly buy from Instagram accounts. You could always shop on Instagram, but it would kind of take you away from the main Instagram application into the company's different versions of that. So now, right now, they have a testing period, the checkout on Instagram. They introduced it on March 14th, or 19th, I should say, and it's currently in closed beta for some select U.S. businesses. They have over 20 brands a part of this initial run, and this includes Nike, Adidas, Burberry, H&M, Michael Kors, Warby Parker, a Lululemon competitor, Outdoor Voices, and once again, noticeably left off this list is there's not an Under Armour account on here, but Deutsche Bank, just for reference, thinks that this checkout on Instagram feature alone could add $10 billion in revenues to Facebook by 2021. So this is nothing to scoff at whatsoever. And this is part of kind of Mark Zuckerberg's bigger push to become more of an e-commerce company as well, or just allow people to make more transactions on their personal and daily basis on Facebook and Instagram. And just for a quick reference, Facebook estimates that over 2.7 billion people, or roughly 35% of the global population, use one of their family of services. So this is Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, or Messenger every month. And they now they don't break out the numbers specifically, but reports suggest that Instagram is well over a billion users a month. So that's hugely important for these companies as a way to try to make money directly on these applications, and digital is really kind of the wave of the future for all of retail. So with all that said, I quickly just want to, as we end, just look at these numbers in terms of reach on social media. And I think it's almost an exact correlation with how big these businesses are around the world and where they stand. So if you don't look at if you look at their revenue numbers, and those can fluctuate sometime quarter by quarter beat on earnings and all of that. But this shows where their standing is on a global basis for how popular they are, in my opinion. So for Instagram, Under Armour is at 7.2 million followers around the world on their main account. They have a few other accounts, and none of them have more than that 7.2 million followers. Meanwhile, Nike has 87.2 million followers on its main Nike Instagram account. Then it has a Nike soccer account that has 37.5 million people following it. And now going forward within the next year or so, they'll probably easily be able to sell people Nike shoes and all of that directly through Instagram. And then meanwhile, you have Adidas at 23.4 million on its main account. It's Adidas original account hits 33 million people. It's Adidas soccer account hits 28 million people. And then you have, for reference, for these other smaller businesses, Lululemon's at around 3 million people, and then Puma's at 9.5 million people around the world. So it's Nike at the very top, Adidas in second, and then everyone else is kind of in a distant third in terms of scope around the world. So for all the people for the longest time who thought maybe Under Armour could be that real third company or even kind of nip at the heels of Nike and Adidas in terms of kind of global brand presence for these sportswear companies, it doesn't seem like it's trending in that direction these days. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.